Heaven, The Hedonic Treadmill, and Homer, Simpson. Platinum Post by Douglas Wadeson, M.D. Read by Ken Teutsch. My favorite TV series is The Old Twilight Zone by Rod Serling. There is an episode in which a small-time crook named Rocky Valentine is shot and ends up in a beautiful place. Everything is at his fingertips. Food, booze, money, women. He wins every time he gambles. He gets every beautiful woman he wants. He doesn't understand how he deserved all this, but he becomes increasingly frustrated. It's all too easy. He gets no kicks from it. I won't spoil the ending. You might want to look for the episode the next time Sci-Fi or another channel has a TZ marathon. A Nice Place to Visit, from season one, written by Charles Beaumont. Let's just say he has a rude awakening about the reality of his situation. I think this raises a valid question. Would a life of uninterrupted pleasure really be satisfying and enjoyable if it lasted for all eternity? There is a psychological term called the hedonic treadmill, also known as hedonic adaptation, which is the tendency of humans to return to a steady level of happiness despite significant ups and downs and major life changes. On a treadmill, when it speeds up, you change your pace to stay in place. Likewise, when it slows down, but you always remain in the same place. An example of this would be getting a major job promotion with more money, but over time, seeing no increase in net happiness as your mind becomes accustomed to the new conditions. Your increased prosperity becomes the new norm. In the case of Rocky Valentine, it is worse than that. His constant hedonism leads to outright boredom and frustration. If we have an eternal afterlife in a blissful place, will we be any better off? Better off than Rocky? Better off than our current life? To save time and space, let me refer you to Dr. Bart Ehrman's book, Heaven and Hell, 2020, in which he makes a good case that Jesus and his disciples did not teach that the saved would go to heaven, but rather they would live in a new righteous kingdom here on earth. Christians often recite the Lord's Prayer, but seem to miss this basic point: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. Jesus is looking forward to God's kingdom on earth, like heaven, but not in heaven. Other writings in the New Testament, like 1 Peter 3 and Revelation, speak of a new earth, not the old heaven. And early theologians did not endorse the idea that when you die, you go to heaven. Justin Martyr wrote in the mid-100s, 2nd century CE, "If you have ever encountered any so-called Christians who do not admit this doctrine but dare to blaspheme by asserting that there is no resurrection of the dead but that their souls are taken up to heaven at the moment of their death, do not consider them to be real Christians." Dialogue with Trifo, 80. He just slammed the majority of Christians today who believe exactly that, that when they die, they go up to heaven. They're blasphemers, not real Christians. Obviously, over the centuries, that assertion was supplanted by the idea that when you die, you go to heaven. It has become a trope that when you die, you will be floating around the clouds with wings, a halo, and a harp, or that you become an angel. But none of that is biblical. But what is the coming kingdom going to be like? What will we do there? Let's digress from the Bible for a moment. In the Quran, Muhammad repeats often that the unbelievers can expect a fiery punishment, but the believers will enjoy a garden with a running stream and abundant food, juicy fruit, and nice garments, and, like Rocky Valentine, the men are promised beautiful women. For someone living in an arid desert land, that certainly would sound heavenly. It sounds similar to the Garden of Eden, which many Christians also see as a depiction of paradise. Eating without concern, enjoying a dip in the water, and free love sounds very pleasant. But will it satisfy us for all eternity? Consider the book of Revelation and its description of the New Jerusalem. Streets of gold, a crystal clear river running through it, perpetual light, and fantastic jewels, sapphire, emerald, amethyst, gates of pearl, etc. Like the beautiful garden of the Quran, surely we will be happy in such a place, no? Frankly, it sounds like a rather materialistic description of a supposedly spiritual place. Let me throw this out there. America is the most affluent nation in the history of the world, and yet, if you go to the most affluent places in America, you will still find psychiatrists with full schedules. This was one of the basic messages of Jesus and the Buddha and others. Material things are not the way to true happiness. So why is our eternal abode described in such a way? I think the author couldn't come up with any other description that would better appeal to the impoverished Christians of his day. If you read the details in Jesus' teaching about the coming kingdom, it will be a wonderful place. The hungry will be fed, the sick healed, justice will reign, and so forth. Neither he nor any of the other writers in the Bible ever suggest floating around heaven. Will life continue similar to now, except without the problems and suffering to which we are now prone? Or will there still be problems, but ones that we enjoy tackling and overcoming? When Jesus said the hungry will be fed and the sick healed, is he suggesting that such problems will still exist in the new kingdom, but that such needs will be met, unlike current earth? Perhaps Jesus thought that in the new kingdom, when such problems arise, we will take care of each other instead of exploiting each other. Will we still work at jobs to keep busy? How do we avoid burnout in the case of eternal labor? Jesus said there will not be marriage in heaven, but rather we will be like the angels in that regard, whatever that means, Mark 12:25. Does that mean no romance, no sex? How does that sound to you? Or does that mean unrestricted romance and sex? Free love? And like Rocky Valentine, will we find even that loses its appeal after a time? Perhaps we will spend eternity praising God. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God the Almighty reigns." Revelation 19:6. I have a hard time believing that a truly supreme being would be so egotistical that he would want continual praise from his minions for all eternity. If you had an entourage nipping at your heels, constantly telling you how great you are, wouldn't that get old pretty fast? I mean, what is wrong with a God that needs constant eternal praise in order to feel good about himself? Doesn't he have anything better to do with his power and intellect? And I have a hard time believing that people who glance at their watches when the church service goes long will enjoy this non-stop forever. Going back to the concept of the hedonic treadmill, it seems that after a certain amount of time in the afterlife, your level of happiness will reset to accommodate the new conditions. Is it possible that in the long run, we will not really be any happier in the afterlife than here on earth? Here on earth, some people use drugs to maintain an ongoing high, and that doesn't end well. People with bipolar disorder can go for extended periods of feeling emotionally high, and that doesn't end well either. Obviously, feeling depressed for extended periods of time is not good for us. Witness suicides approaching 50,000 a year in the U.S. We seem designed to experience both ups and downs at moderate levels for limited time, not extremes for long periods. And if there is a hell, will people on that treadmill adjust to and get used to the torment? On The Simpsons TV show, in the episode Treehouse of Horror 4, Homer is temporarily sent to hell. In the ironic punishment division, they know that Homer loves donuts, so they continually stuff donuts into his mouth, except that he keeps eagerly downing them with pleasure, frustrating the exasperated demons. I wonder what ironic punishment they will have set up for me, and will I handle it like Homer? What will your ironic punishment be? Alas, neither the New Testament nor the Quran suggest any such ironic punishment. Just fire. Those authors lacked the macabre imagination of the Apocalypse of Peter, or Dante's Inferno, or even The Simpsons writers. There are other paradoxes about the afterlife. I'll mention one. Revelation 21:4 tells us, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." How can people be happy and shed no tears in paradise, knowing that many of their loved ones are either destroyed or suffering in hell? Will God change us so that we don't remember those lost loved ones, or make it so that we just don't care? Neither is an appealing prospect. Either way, will I even be the same person as now if I forget and/or ignore the fate of my loved ones? So ironically, the people in heaven should be unhappy knowing that they have loved ones in hell, and the people in hell should be happy knowing they have loved ones in heaven. What do you think your afterlife will be like? How will you spend eternity? Will you even be the same person as you are now? Is that a good thing or bad? Will you, like Rocky Valentine, find perpetual bliss a bore, or will God find new challenges to keep you occupied? Will time stop so that eternity, and therefore eternal life, is really an illusion or a misnomer? If only we had more information and explanation. But why spoil the surprise? For more such articles, check out my free blog, thebibleundressed.blog.